Now, look at verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, all four of the gospel writers quote this verse as applying to John the Baptist. And since it's in there four times, I'm not even prepared to argue about it this morning. I say this refers to John the Baptist. Now we are told in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now Luke quotes this also as applying to John the Baptist. Now we are told in verse 7 and 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. Now we come here to where man is compared to the grass of the field. And the question is, where can there be comfort in this? To be reminded that today you and I, just like grass that's out yonder growing, and here in California in the spring after the rains, my, how beautiful a hillside looks. And it's not many days, the sun coming down, that it begins to wither and die. Man is just like that. And this is not comfort, you say. Yes, it is. You see, man is faint and frail and feeble. But the Word of God is what's strong and sure and secure. And that's our hiding place. That's our foundation that we rest on. That's our sword and our buckler. That's our high tower. That's our protection. That's our security. That's our salvation. Listen to what Simon Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, it's only the gospel that gives eternal life to man who very naturally is just a transitory creature on this earth. That's all in the world that he is. Now, the wonderful message is contained here in verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. That's what the message was. John the Baptist was introducing him, you see. And the good tidings, of course, is the gospel. What is it? Behold your God. And my friend, until you see that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, you haven't seen anything yet. And until you come to him, not just as a man, but come to him as a God, Emmanuel, God with us. And because of that, his name's Jesus. That's his human name. And if he's just a human, he's not my Savior. But since he's Emmanuel, he is Jesus. He is my Savior. How wonderful this is. Now, Isaiah, as he generally does, draws together the first and second coming of Christ. Verse 10, the second coming. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. This looks forward to the second advent. Actually, the gospel includes both the comings of Christ. And the wonderful thing is that today we are apt to get sidetracked and put all the emphasis on either the first coming or the second coming. Let's put it on both comings. That's the totality of the gospel.